our eternal and loving God in distinctly female rather than male terms. We all know that God is neither male nor female, but so much of our traditional language, imagery, and art represents God as male, a man. Let me try to speak about today's feast insistently in terms of female language about God. In doing this, I remind you and myself that God is beyond gender, neither male nor female, but the creator of both. I'm hoping that by pressing the point in terms that may at first seem strange, I hope you may appreciate better how deep and beyond all comprehension the mystery of our creating and redeeming God truly is. Here it goes. In the eternal now, God the Mother has wanted out of love to create a cosmos different from herself, and has wanted as well to give herself to the cosmos by the incarnation of her divine daughter in the man Jesus, and by the pouring out of her Holy Spirit on all creation. Jesus was born of Mary of Nazareth and grew in wisdom, age, and grace in his native Palestine, which at the time was under the savage control of pagan Romans and local rulers. The country was populated by some very wealthy and very many poor people. Jesus, the incarnation of the divine daughter, was inspired by God the Mother to see himself as a prophet, a spokesperson for God, and not only that, but as the culmination of the long line of prophets God sent to her people. He preached the inbreaking reign of God by the word and by deeds of power, healing many those who were blind, making whole many who were lame and paralyzed, and curing folks afflicted by all kinds of illness and ostracism. He offended many people because of his freedom in interpreting Torah, making the well-being of people more important than literal fulfillment of certain rules and regulations. He challenged the wealthy, the powerful, and the religiously self-righteous, and reached out to the poor and marginalized with compassion and love. He condemned no one, but said that those who deliberately close themselves to God's offer of salvation were condemning and punishing themselves. His act of symbolically destroying the temple by throwing out the legitimate sellers of temple currency and sacrificial animals enraged the religious leaders of his people, and that led, it seems, to his arrest, torture, and crucifixion as a threat to the Pax Romana and the Jewish religion as those leaders understood it. All through Jesus' life and ministry, God the Mother and the Holy Spirit were supporting Jesus and giving him direction and strength. They did not abandon him in his suffering and dying, though it is possible that at the end he lost his habitual sense of God the Mother's love and support. He surrendered his self, his life, his ministry into the hands of his divine mother on the cross, and then was buried. It soon became apparent that he had died into the life and love of his divine mother because he was resurrected as a transformed human being composed of spirit, psyche, and body. On the third day, he appeared to women and men disciples, forgiving them, refreshing his friendship with them, and sending them on mission to proclaim by word and deed the reign of God, which was now established in human history and the cosmos in an irrevocable way. Evil and sin were now in principle definitively defeated, even though they are still powerful in our world to the degree that they stay away from the all-powerful love of the risen Jesus and the Holy Spirit poured out, and God the Mother. Jesus' Paschal mystery has three major dimensions, as you know, each celebrated by a solemnity. Jesus' resurrection, celebrated on Easter Sunday. God the Mother transformed Jesus from a dead, seemingly defeated human being into a totally transformed human, living a new mode of existence in deep continuity with his earthly life, but also profoundly different. celebrated today, the Ascension, God the Mother empowered Jesus, metaphorically speaking, to ascend to the throne of God and share totally in her sovereignty over all creation. And thirdly, the risen Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on the disciples, on all future disciples, and indeed on all human beings and the entire universe. The solemnity of Pentecost next Sunday. From now on, our good enough mothers and our good enough God.
in response to God's word, once again, in Christ's life, let us join the universal church and profess our faith using the Apostles' Creed, founded under 175 in the name of God.